hearers of God's word, grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, the crucified. Holy Week, the week of the Passion. On Sunday, the crowds are shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. What does that mean? What kind of a cheer or what kind of a cry is that? Well, Hosanna is often thought of as a declaration of praise, similar to Alleluia. But it is actually different. Instead, it is a plea. It is a cry for salvation. The Hebrew root words are found in Psalm 118, verse 25. Which says, save us, we pray, O Lord. The Hebrew words yasha, which means deliver us, save us, and anah, which means we beg, we beseech, they are combined together to form yasha anah, which we translate as Hosanna. Literally, Hosanna, yasha anah. It means I beg you, I plead with you to save us. So as Jesus rides the donkey into Jerusalem, the crowds are rightly shouting, Hosanna! Lord, please, please, we beg you, save us! They're acknowledging Jesus as their Messiah. This is also seen in the title that they give to him. They cry out to him, calling him the Son of David. That means that finally, after hundreds of years of oppression, after hundreds of years of waiting, finally now their long-awaited Savior, their Deliverer, he has come. The one who will drive out those hated Romans and deliver them from the blasphemy of the tyranny of the Roman Empire. Theirs is a cry for salvation and a recognition that this Jesus, he is able to save. Indeed, he is mighty to save. Later that day, Jesus is in the temple, and the children are present. And the children are now shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. The chief priests and the teachers of the law, they don't like it. They are angry. Do you hear what these children are saying? They ask Jesus. Yes, he replies. Have you never read? From the lips of children and infants, you, O Lord, have called forth your praise. So it is on Sunday. The people are crying out to Jesus as their Savior, begging him to deliver them. Yes, that is why he has come, to be their Savior. But Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday pass, and now finally comes Friday. 5 days later, they are shouting, away with him, crucify him. And Jesus will be hanging on a cross. It is as Jesus had said, as he wept over Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets and stoning those who are sent to you. How often would I have gathered your children together as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. You see, Jesus is not the kind of Messiah that the people were counting on. They wanted a king, a conqueror, a warrior, a king like David. They were praying. They were waiting for the one who would destroy their enemies, slaughter the Romans. They loved Jesus. They loved Jesus when he was acting like a wonder-working rabbi, healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead, feeding the multitudes. He was their personal bread king. Jesus, He does not destroy their enemies, not their earthly enemies. Jesus is telling them, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Forgive one another, even as I have first forgiven you. Jesus triumphantly enters Jerusalem, and he is not destroying their enemies. What kind of a Savior can this be? He has the perfect opportunity at Passover, with the city now crushed, overflowing with thousands and thousands of Passover pilgrims who have come to the holy city for this great celebration. Oh, it's the perfect opportunity to rally the masses, to storm the Praetorian Guard, to bring down that hated Antonio Fortress. Drive these blasphemous pagans from our holy city. And Jesus does nothing. So, disappointed, not getting their way. Oh, it's easy for the chief priests who want to continue to stay in power, to continue to be in control. Oh, it is easy for them to turn the disillusioned masses, the disappointed masses, into one angry, vengeful mob that shouts, away with him! Crucify him! God's inspired, living, holy word. It has been written for you and for me so that we might find ourselves in this very story. That's the challenge. Every single time you read God's word, find yourself in the story. And I am afraid that if we will be honest, the Holy Spirit is calling us to find ourselves in that fickle mob. We are called to look to Jesus, to pray, to seek his will, not our will. But what happens to you and me? What happens when we pray and we don't get our way? We pray, and the miracle of healing does not come. We pray and we work hard, and then we fear that we will suddenly lose that small business that we've worked so hard to create that was doing so well. Pray. We save hard. And our life savings, indeed our retirement savings, they suddenly plummet in a COVID-19 market crash. We pray. And our loved one still dies. We pray. And our friends or our family members still refuse forgiveness. They refuse healing. They refuse reconciliation. We pray. And God sometimes says, not yet. Not yet. My timing. Not yours. We pray. And sometimes God, in his love, a love that sometimes we do not understand. We pray, and sometimes God just says, no. Then it is so easy for us to become caught up in that spirit of our own old sinful nature, that willful, proud, hurt, angry heart. And it starts crying out in a voice of unbelief. It turns on God, the very one who came to save us. It turns on God, the Holy One, the only one who can save us from ourselves. we, in our sin, we crucify the Lord anew. As we enter into this Holy Week, please pray with me. The words are those from one of those classic old hymns of this week. We pray. Ah, holy Jesus, how hast thou offended that man to judge thee hath in hate pretended? By foes derided, by thine own rejected, O most afflicted. Who was the guilty who brought this upon thee? Alas, my treason, Jesus hath undone me. 'Twas I, Lord Jesus, I it was denied thee. I crucified thee. Amen. We join together in the